What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Five questions, five answers. We do this every Monday and Friday. Let's not even waste five more seconds. We call it Onsides Offside. Hot take hickey. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what do you got for me?
Zach, let's start with a Week 11 preview because one of the best matchups on paper this weekend is Vikings hosting the Cowboys. Minnesota's coming off an incredible 33-30 overtime victory over the Bills.
I wish this was a Sunday night game, by the way. Not that flex. the Sunday night game is a bad one this week, but I prefer this one.
Believe it or not mistaken, wasn't Chiefs-Chargers flexed in lately or recently?
This wasn't on
the schedule to start.
Yeah, they moved someone out.
So you're right. You could have put Cowboys and Vikings there, although Colts-Cowboys, I believe, is 2 weeks from now, so maybe they don't want the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football too often. I don't know. Either way,
they never veer away from putting too many Dallas games in prime time.
Also true.
Maybe do with Thanksgiving? Since the Cowboys play on Thursday, you don't want to play them late on Sunday night, traveling back. That's probably why.
You're probably right. You're probably right about that for sure. On a short week, nonetheless. Dallas, as we mentioned, is coming off of choking away a 14-point fourth quarter lead against the Packers in an eventual loss in overtime. Now, Minnesota's tied the Eagles for the best record in the NFC. Both teams are 8-1, but Philly does own the tiebreaker because they beat them head-to-head back in week number two. Onsides or offsides, Zach? This is more of a must-win for the Vikings compared to the Cowboys.
First off, you've been violent with that microphone.
I don't know why it's in the way.
You've had a play in your playbook for like the last 3 weeks where you get very animated when you're talking and you use your hands, and then for some reason, when you emphasize a word, you like hit the microphone like that.
It's that loud? I don't hear it.
Well, I hear it.
Which is worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see it.
That's also true.
And then
I keep the mic away and make sure my hands are not anywhere near it.
It's all right. If you want to punch the microphone, you can punch the microphone.
To me. I have no reason to punch it.
Just don't be surprised if the microphone fights back one day.
Trust me. There's a lot of animosity towards me, I'm sure.
This is more of a must-win for the Cowboys compared to the Vikings compared to the Cowboys. No. Offside.
Offside.
I get what you're saying because of home field advantage. And if you tie with the same record than the Eagles, you lose out. So I'm not saying this game isn't important for Minnesota, but the Vikings are 8-1. They're coming off an emotional high of beating the Buffalo Bills in one of the great games that you'll ever see for a regular season game. For Dallas, I got to see Dak dominate this week. Because not that Cooper Rush was unbelievable and great, but the record was really good under Cooper Rush. And last week, you're up by 14 points and you can't close out the game against the pathetic Green Bay Packers this year. For Dallas, in a year that's wide open, you got to make me feel better about them. And if they lose this game to the Vikings, not that I think the Cowboys are this great team, but you really start to knock them down a few pegs. So I think this game's more important to the Cowboys, too. And if you get into that, I don't think that there's going to be a crazy wild card chase, but if another team gets hot and you're competing for a 7th spot, this could come back to screw you.
Going back to last night, Zach, the Packers, they fell to 4-7 on the season after their 27-17 loss to the Titans. You are right about that. Aaron Rodgers had arguably the worst game of the season, throwing for just 227 yards and missing wide-open receivers against what is a secondary that's given up the second-most passing yards per game in all of the NFL.
Is Rodgers on that ayahuasca during the game?
Maybe, some of those missed throws, he might be, because he's seeing double out there.
Those missed throws are pretty high, if you ask me.
High, wide, seeing double. Maybe he thought Sammy Watkins was 5 yards ahead than he really was.
Remember that that shot of Rodgers last year when he's lying down and his helmet's like slightly off and it looks like he just got electrocuted?
Yes.
Maybe that's Rodgers when he dabbles with the ayahuasca.
And he was in the desert at that time, so maybe that's, you know, an accurate depiction of what it's like.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. Either way, sober or under the psychedelic influence, he did not have a good game whatsoever. After the game, the future Hall of Famer did say he believes Green Bay can win each of their final six games, which do include facing the Eagles, best team in the NFC, the Bears, okay, you own them, Rams, Dolphins, Vikings, and Lions. Onside or offside, Zach, Jordan Love should start the rest of the season for the Packers.
Offside, and here's why.
Offside.
It sends a terrible message to the rest of your team. Even though Rodgers is not playing well and he was advocating for reps to be cut for guys who aren't playing well, if you just basically give up on the season and go to Jordan Love and start evaluating Jordan Love for future years, I don't think you could even contemplate sitting down Rodgers until, one, this injury picks up in intensity, if they want to use that as an excuse, or two, you get mathematically eliminated. And I also think there's still some importance left to this season because you know he's not going to voluntary OTAs. So building up that chemistry with these players, and you're starting to build some chemistry with Christian Watson, had the drop early on, then's been banged up. Last 2 weeks, he's had 5 total touchdowns. I think you got to continue to develop that chemistry so you can at least take some silver lining, some positive out of this year, because some of these guys are going to be on the roster for next year. So, no, I'm not in the Jordan Love camp yet.
All right, it's a little college football, Zach, as USC, they are the lone remaining college football playoff contender from the Pac-12. They currently sit 7th in the rankings. They are at 9-1 on the year. The Trojans travel to the other side of town this Saturday to take on the 16th-ranked UCLA Bruins, who have turned things around so far under Chip Kelly this season, recording 2 wins over ranked opponents. Those are Washington and Utah. Now, both the Bruins and Trojans are scheduled to leave the conference for the Big Ten for the 2024 season. So onside or offside, Zach? Because USC is leaving the conference shortly, the Pac-12 should root for UCLA to beat USC and ruin their odds to make the playoff.
You know UCLA is also leaving to go to the Big Ten.
Correct.
So how does this make any sense?
Well, the thinking is, or the thought I'm throwing out there is, USC, would it be worse for the Pac-12, a worse look for the Pac-12 if the only team, let's say in the next 2 years that makes the playoff, is a team that leaves the conference? Like, would you rather that basically no team make it in general, or the one team that people actually believe in USC, which has some momentum with Lincoln Riley there, Caleb Williams, they're going to leave the conference, and then maybe the only strong team that you have developing is going to be out the door in 2 years.
USC would still have to give some money to the Pac-12, right, if they get to the college football playoff? Like, doesn't that, that work that way?
For this year specifically, yes, the Pac-12 will receive some money.
Yeah, so therefore, I want the money. I want the Pac-12 in, so I would want USC. And you know what this would be like? This would be, you get divorced. Right? Let's just say your wife cheated on you. Would you ever want that wife to find happiness? Like, again, would you? Okay, but let's say like you did. And then the person that she's marrying was like your best friend or someone. Like, you don't want to see that happen. So in a weird way, as this is a bizarre analogy, I'll admit it, USC is cheating. Like, on the Pac-12, they're going to the Big Ten. But then if UCLA wins, they're also doing the same cheating, and they're going to another conference. They're going to the same conference. So you want UCLA to get a big victory over USC, but they're also doing the same thing. So I would just take the money and what benefits you, and that's why I want USC to win.
Well, UCLA is not going to go to the playoff if they win.
No.
So it's not like, you know, the winner's going to get in. Like, neither team would go in. So, sure, I know UCLA is, well, scheduled to leave.
But hold on. What happens if UCLA goes on to win the Pac-12 championship? Not that they're going to go to the college football playoff, but they go to a New Year's Six Bowl, right?
Yep. They do.
So, it isn't like, regardless, the winner of this game is, unless Oregon has
Oregon
something to say
Utah.
About it, and Utah, unless one of those two schools has something to say about it, the winner of this game has a good chance to at least bare minimum play in a New Year's Six Bowl. Are you really in that much spite here on this?
I'm more asking. I don't know how I feel, to be honest. I thought about it today.
I'm curious. I've never heard someone ask this question. It's a fascinating question. I give you credit for this.
I'm spiteful. I am. So I think I'd probably lean on the side of the Pac-12 and be like, you know what? Screw you. Like, if you're going to leave me, I hope you fail as well. Even with the money that's going to come in, screw you.
You know what? I kind of like you saying that because that's really against your personality. I didn't think you were a very petty, spiteful person. You know, you come off to me as someone that's very nice and sincere and genuine. I like the spiteful hickey.
There's some spite in there.
Good.
There, especially when it comes to sports, a lot of spite. A lot of schadenfreude, if you will.
So if you were a Pac-12 fan, which you may root for a Pac-12 team because you root for like 9,000 teams in college football, you would be annoyed if USC went to the playoff.
Yeah. If I was like an Oregon fan, I'd be like, screw you. Obviously, you're trying to win the Pac-12, so that's one thing. But it's like,
and then Oregon gets an invite to the Big Ten in a year, and they win the Pac-12 championship.
Different story.
Imagine if the Pac-12 created this rule. If you're leaving the conference, you can't. Remember, there was, I think it was the American.
James Madison, I think, was when they were transitioning.
I think it was the American for, it wasn't for basketball or football. I think it was like cross country or something. They go, oh, you can't host. I think it was for Houston. If I remember this story, you can't host the American Athletic Conference championship for track meet if you're leaving the conference or some bylaw. Imagine the Pac-12 goes, if you're leaving the conference, you can't go to the college football playoff.
The ultimate.
Now, it's different because the college football playoff committee controls that, but that would be kind of funny. Or you can't play in the Pac-12 championship game.
Larry David has a spite store. The Pac-12 is just spite.
Well, that
hate.
Would be the spite move. You can't play in the Pac-12 championship if you're leaving the conference. Therefore, USC would not get in. Like, they have an outside chance to get in regardless. But if they don't win a Pac-12 championship, they got no shot of going in. I would take the money. Take the money.
Come on.
Put it this way.
Enjoy the failures of others.
Let's say your wife, you know, let's say you marry Lolly and Lolly hits the lottery or something. And then she cheats on you. Yeah, you don't want to see her do well in life. You're mad at her. But you still want some of that dough. You want some of that cash. You better be getting your 50% there, Hot Take Hickey.
Well, I can absolutely hate her and still get 50%.
That's USC. You could hate USC if you're the Pac-12, but you get some cut.
Well, if it's getting the money or hating, I would just rather hate.
Okay.
I'm on another island. Yeah. Okay. Money doesn't really make me happy.
Well, like, you could also hate them and get some of that coin.
I do enjoy the struggling of others. I will definitely admit that for sure.
Well,
Not a great quality trait.
I didn't know we were going to have a lot of divorce and marriage conversations when we got to this question, but that was good. I like
USC,
that.
USC, UCLA, that's what they do. That's how sports and life do merge together.
You have Oregon on a therapist couch. Do I want to see USC do well? Do I want to see them go to the college football playoff? They're leaving me. They're breaking my heart. Should I root for them if I'm not in the Pac-12 championship game?
Let's keep the divorce talk going, Zach, because, boy, two teams that probably, and two fan bases that want to divorce themselves from their head coach right now.
Well, I don't know if the Raiders could afford divorce lawyers.
Well, that's true. Raiders right now, Raiders fans, I'm sure, would love to get a new head coach. It's not Josh McDaniels. Broncos fans would love a new head coach. It's not Nathaniel Hackett. And guess
Mark
what?
Mark Davis is saying, I'll take the court-appointed lawyer to settle this divorce.
The public defender. Thank you very much. Holy cow. What a matchup Broncos-Raiders is going to be. Maybe, again, if you like pain and suffering, this could be one of the most intriguing matchups of the weekend because one team is going to be feeling really, really down about themselves after this game. Because guess what? Both teams, they are going nowhere fast. The Raiders coming off of a loss to Jets. Honestly, this might be...
This is incompetence. This is the battle of incompetence. So I do picks on DA's show every Friday, as you know.
Don't.
What?
Really?
What?
You're touching this game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
I took the Raiders +3.
Oh, no.
But Hickey, you know what I use as my analogy for this one?
Oh,
I said, this is the battle of incompetence. This is like Shep against Schwartz at Bob's Bar.
Jeez.
Two guys that are just fighting really over nothing, and someone has to win.
Where's Shep? Hopefully he's not in yet.
Oh, don't worry. When Shep gets in the morning. Shep, what's up, my man? Love you. How you doing?
Dude, they were saying some mean stuff about you this morning. Don't worry. I had your back.
Hickey was just trashing you on the radio.
So the Shep versus Schwartz battle is AKA the
Broncos
and the Raiders.
You know, I'm losing my voice a little bit, so I don't know who's saying these things. Doesn't sound like me saying these things.
Well, you know, still, even with a bad voice, still not as high pitched as yours truly. So I do got that going
for
me for sure. Well, the Raiders, they lost to Jeff Saturday, who came off the street to make his coaching debut. They sit at 2-7.
How many times are you going to mention that?
Probably the last week. This is, you know, again, this is it. but still bad. That's what we're talking about here. That's how bad it is for the Raiders. And the Broncos is not much better. They have the worst scoring offense in the NFL. Russell Wilson, according to Tyler Palamas, who's heard it in the news brief before, he's using the wrong audibles now at the line of scrimmage, using some from his Seahawks days that the Broncos players do not understand. So it's a mess in Denver. It's a mess in Las Vegas. Onsides or offsides, Zach? The Broncos are more desperate for a win in this game compared to the Raiders.
Wow.
There are two teams that need one bad. Who is more desperate?
This is like when you have a 700-pound man and a 701-pound man, and you're like, who's more desperate to lose weight?
Fair, yeah. Both need it. Who needs it more?
This is like Mraz and Schwartz. Who needs to lose more weight?
Peter's ears are actually ringing on a Friday night. Who's talking about me?
Oh, wow. Who's more desperate for a win? I'm going to take it from the coaching side of it. I think it's the Broncos because even though both these guys got a vote of confidence already, two first-year head coaches, the Raiders may not have the cash to get rid of Josh McDaniels. We know the Broncos have a lot of new money. So that's the difference for me. Broncos are more desperate to win compared to the Raiders on sides.
Because the Broncos are a richer team. Yeah. Sorry, Nathaniel Hackett. Oh, boy. And finally, the Titans.
They can afford the diet. The Raiders can't. They could afford. Give me a weight loss program, Nutrisystem or whatever it was.
Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers. Thank you.
Man, sometimes kids, it pays to be poor. That is for sure. Finally, the Titans. They are now tied for the most wins in the AFC right now with 7 as they beat the Packers on Thursday night. Ryan Tannehill had a great game, 333 yards, 2 touchdowns. While Tennessee's defense, despite missing 3 starters, held Green Bay to just 17 points. Mike Vrabel has continued to do what he's done all season long, get more with less. As Tannehill, since becoming the starter of Week 7 back in 2019, is the third most wins of any quarterback during that span, like Mahomes and Rodgers, with more wins than Ryan Tannehill. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Mike Vrabel is a top 3 head coach in the NFL right now.
Wow. It's definitely top 5. I said top 5 before the start of the season. Not just like all these other hacks today that are like, oh, he's a top 5 coach. That was one of the takes I got right before the start of the season. This is tough. Now, is it just based off this year, this question? Or do I have to take other years into account?
Other years into account, considering he also has done a great job with Tennessee the last few years as well.
Okay.
Would he be the top 3 just this year? There's been a lot of good coaches, a lot of good coaching.
Well, you know what? Save that thought because we are going to do Coach of the Year conversation coming up in about 5 minutes. So save that thought. I'm going to say when you evaluate all the other coaches in the league, he's top 5. I probably put him at 4 right now, Mike Vrabel. I put him at 4 before the start of the season. I'll probably keep him at 4 right now. Mike Vrabel, the 4th best coach in the NFL, just outside of the top 5, there's a few guys that have won Super Bowls or Super Bowl that I have to just give the edge to before you go to Vrabel. But Vrabel is a exceptional coach. He's in the top 5. I probably put him at 4. So I feel bad going offside here.
Offside.
Why would you answer this one right now?
I think I would say yes, because you look at what he's working
reigning
with,
coach of the year.
It's just like, McVay is a great roster, and I think he was someone probably before the year I put above
been
Mike
to two
Vrabel.
Super Bowls this year have been a disaster.
It's just like, not that this is his fault, because he's got, like you mentioned, 2 Super Bowls and won one, but they've always had a very talented roster. I don't think it's Mike Vrabel's fault that the Titans have never been at this very good team, but to their credit, I know the postseason's different. They have won and won every year.
Yeah. Well, Andy Reid has to be in the top 3.
I agree. Yep. I put Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick's still in the top 3. And I know some people are going to say, oh, well, what is Bill do? Like, Bill made the playoffs last year with a garbage roster. And this year, the roster is not that good. And we'll see what they do the rest of the way. The question is, like, do you lean a Harbaugh, a Tomlin?
Harbaugh's a really good comp.
Pete Carroll. Sean McVay.
Tough question, yeah.
That's why I just leave him just on the outside, because some of those guys have Super Bowls. But doesn't mean that he beats all the guys that have Super Bowls. Like, I told you, I put him in at number 4. All right, we come on back. Just for this year, where do you rank Mike Vrabel? Just for this year, because I have a Coach of the Year list, and I'll give you the top five names for that award when we come on Back in Order.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, I'm about to give my top five Coach of the Year candidates in order. When the list is over, I want to know two things from you. One, did I leave anybody off the list that you thought should have been in the top five? And then number two, do you agree with the ordering of my list? You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. In at number five, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, has that team at 8-1, probably would be higher up on the list if they're still undefeated, but I thought the Eagles were going to be a good team this year. I thought they were going to win the NFC East. I'd be lying to you if I told you I thought they were going to be 8-1 heading into week 11. So Sirianni in at five. Number four, the reigning coach of the year, Mike Vrabel, has the Tennessee Titans in at 7-3. They are finding a way once again to win with less. And this is a head football coach that going into the season, I've always liked. I had him as the fourth best coach in the league, but I thought his team was going to regress. Now the division is bad, but they have made it known that this is their division. And you look after they lost A.J. Brown, which I did not like that trade by John Robinson. Mike Vrabel has found a way to make it work with multiple coordinators on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So Vrabel's in at four. Three, it shows you how tough this award is this year when you have a rookie head coach that has one loss and that has exceeded all expectations. Hickey didn't think this team was going to make the playoffs before the year started. I thought they'd be a wild card team. I never would have thought they would have won the NFC North. But it shows you how many good coaching jobs there have been this year when Kevin O'Connell is the third option for me right now. Second, maybe the best feel-good story in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks head coach and Pete Carroll. You lose Russell Wilson because Russ didn't want you anymore. And you basically are able to give Russ the middle finger this year because you get the picks. Maybe you get Putney and, you know, let me know you pancake-eating mother bleeper going back to, I don't know why I'm doing draft day Browns reference, but it seems like this is one of those spite moves when you're looking at the revenge here of one Pete Carroll because he's winning with Geno Smith. And Ryan, I think that's the biggest slap in the face to Russ, where Russell Wilson has been dreadful with the Broncos. Pete basically said, you don't want to be here anymore? Okay, we'll trade you. We'll make it work with Geno Smith. And he's been right. Kind of crazy when you think about it.
Now he's been right. Like, they're kind of flourishing. Like,
leaps and bounds.
Better team, better quarterback. Everything right now this year so far has gone the Seahawks way, which is something that you mentioned. Never would have saw it coming.
So Sirianni 5, Vrabel 4, O'Connell 3, Pete Carroll 2, and then 1, Brian Daboll. The Giants are 7-2. I look at this Giants roster, and I know they have some young pieces on the offensive line. They have Kayvon Thibodeau. Saquon Barkley's healthy, but you look at this roster, and an NFC East that is loaded. Commanders now playing well, they're 500. You look at the Cowboys, they're a respectable football team. The Eagles, maybe the best team in the NFC, and I still don't get how with this talent, other than just great coaching and a new belief in that organization, how Brian Daboll is getting this team to be 7-2. So Daboll, for me, isn't at 1. So Sirianni 5, Vrabel 4, O'Connell 3, Pete Carroll 2, and Brian Daboll 1. Did I leave anyone out of the top 5?
This is really tough. I think there's a lot of candidates. I would say yes, one person.
Okay. AFC or NFC?
AFC.
AFC coach. So it's no one in the AFC West. It's no one in the AFC South. Are you saying Robert? Oh, Mike McDaniel?
I think Mike McDaniel.
It's a good one.
It's really tough.
Who do you take out, though?
I would take out right now Kevin O'Connell.
Really?
Just because.
Whoa. They're 8-1.
I get it.
And he's brought a whole new belief that this team did not have under Mike Zimmer. He's brought a whole new level of excitement. I don't know if you could take out O'Connell.
Well, you can make the same exact argument for Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
First year, brought an entire brand new.
It's weird because this is not saying who are the best five coaches in the sport right now. Because, like, Andy Reid is not going to win a Coach of the Year award. Like, just for example. Maybe you take out Vrabel, reigning coach of the year. They've beaten a lot of bad teams and the division stinks. Like if you take out someone, I know I put him at 4. I think maybe you take out Vrabel. If you mean you want to put if you want to introduce Mike McDaniel into the conversation.
If you want to get him about resume, I think that's fair. Because look at the Dolphins. They're undefeated with Tua.
So maybe I'll swap Vrabel and Sirianni then.
Flip-flop and what, have Vrabel 5, Sirianni 4?
Yeah, and then if I had to put McDaniel in there, because it's a fair name, like I'm saying if I was arguing McDaniel, then maybe you fade out Vrabel.
Would you flip-flop Sirianni KOC?
No.
Head-to-head?
No.
Eagles the final undefeated team?
Sirianni's been there for a year. Yeah, Sirianni beat O'Connell, and they destroyed that football team, but I don't want to undersell the importance of the energy that O'Connell has brought, where Ben Lieber said it on this show right before the start of the season. Mike Zimmer hated Kirk Cousins. And look, you bring in a coach that just simply likes the quarterback and starts to be more 2022 player friendly-ish and still have that line of respect. I know that they're winning a bunch of close games in Minnesota, and people still wonder how legit they are, and then they beat Buffalo last week in a crazy game. But 8-1 for a team that you didn't think was going to make the playoffs before the start of the year, I don't get how you don't put them in your top five for your list.
It's just the fact that you look at, I mean, Nick Sirianni, I didn't have high expectations. Like, I just didn't know what this offense is going to be. I didn't know what Jalen Hurts was going to be, really more important than more than anything else. So
but you thought they were going to win the NFC East, didn't you? Or did you go with Dallas?
I did pick them to win the division, but also doesn't mean that I thought they're going to be this great team. I thought like maybe 10-7 is going to be enough. Like they're 8-0. I think so. Again, this is right now, I'm assuming, up to this point, correct?
It's
like,
tough the this first, year.
It is.
Oh, yeah, it's just
it's
this year.
Really, I'm saying even just so far through the first 10 weeks. Like, this is not projecting out.
No.
Right.
No.
It's. I think there's an argument for 6-7 guys. It's really tough. There's been a lot of great coaching so far.
So Daboll, Carroll, O'Connell, Vrabel, Sirianni. McDaniel throwing that conversation. Is there anyone else you throw in that conversation?
I'd say Robert Saleh deserves it in the conversation.
If they win this week. I think he's done a good job, but you lose this week and you lose both games to the Patriots. I know it's losing two games to Bill Belichick. It will be more of an indictment of the quarterback, I think, why they wouldn't win this game. But if Saleh wants to really put himself in the Coach of the Year conversation, you got to find a way to beat the Patriots once. Because this is a Patriot team that is not great. I wouldn't even call it very good, and they still have a chance to go be a 7 seed this year.
Like I said, it has to see how the game plays out. I mean, the last time it was just Zach Wilson throw the ball over the yard, and that defense has played really well as a defensive-minded coach with Saleh.
It really shows you how good Belichick is, by the way. Because you look at, and I know some of that is the construction of the roster that's on Bill, but I'm talking about as a coach. How that roster last year was a 10-7 team, and there was one point where some people, I didn't, but some people thought that they could win that division after they beat the Bills in that crazy windy game in Buffalo, and they ended up losing to Buffalo two more times. And then this year, I hate the approach, and that's on Bill. I hate the approach on offense with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. But it's like you look at that, the talent on this roster, and it's not this overly talented roster, and they got a chance to be a 7 seed. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they have a chance.
Yeah, for right now, 5-4, they've been okay.
Now, I'm not putting Bill in Coach of the Year conversation, just to be clear. But anyway, that was my random Bill tangent. So what's your list? Mine is Vrabel 5, Sirianni 4 after the flip-flop, O'Connell 3, Pete Carroll 2, and Brian Daboll 1. How do you order these teams up?
I would go Daboll 1, Pete Carroll 2, and with you, I would probably go Mike McDaniel 3, Sirianni 4, Kevin O'Connell 5.
Oh, so you do put O'Connell in the top 5.
Yeah. You made a good point about the record for the Titans. Like, not again, that's if we have to nitpick now because it's very tight. Titans have not, like, even the it's Packers weird. Last night, it's not a very good win.
We open up the show talking about A, how Rodgers and the Packers stink, but then B, how great of a coach Mike Vrabel is. And now we have to make arguments to basically knock down Mike Vrabel because of these awards. But that's the way that these accolades do play on out. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll give you some thoughts on who could be getting to the college football playoff when we come back. Also, a surprise name. Maybe get it into the Auburn mix for their next head coaching job. Who could that name be? We'll discuss about it next.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Get fast internet now with the Xfinity Supersonic Bundle. It's unlimited gig internet, a free streaming box, and one line of unlimited mobile. Go to Xfinity.com/gig, visit a store, or call 1-800-XFINITY to learn more. Limited time offer. New gigabit internet customers only. Other restrictions apply.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
What, you got your dancing shoes on, Hickey?
It's Friday. Come on, let's go.
I saw you going back and forth with Chris Moore on Twitter the last 24 hours about the college football playoff expansion and how you're in favor of it and how SEMO isn't. And this is one of the rare times that I'll actually agree with SEMO. But I felt very Chris Moore-like coming back from that break where I go, Hickey, what do you got your dancing shoes on? I feel like that would be something that Chris Moore would say to kind of poke fun
more
at the music
wittier
that
you're
playing.
Oh, Hickey's already got 1 foot out in the clubs. He would say something. Yeah. I can't even do it. He's funnier than me. So
Hickey's about to
have
hop,
a good line.
That hopping Hickey. He's about to hop his way to the club tonight with his dancing shoes. It's Chris Moore Mojo on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Brian Jones? Something like that.
Yeah, something where he maybe borderline. I don't know. He likes to toe the line in a good way.
The only image or sound that I ever just remember of Chris Moore, who we haven't seen in this office in forever. He does all the shows from home now ever since COVID. When Mahomes first started to become a big deal, he would just walk around this office nonstop screaming, and I don't want to scream right now because my voice is going to go, but he would just scream, "What up, Mahomes? What up, Mahomes? What up, Mahomes?" for hours and hours and hours. That guy just screamed, "What up, Mahomes?" And then he would sing Marco Belletti's name in an opera voice. Do you remember that? He'd be like,
Marco Belletio, he's on the radio. Marco Belletio, he's on the radio.
That would be Chris Moore.
Chris had a few go-tos, we'll say, when it comes to sayings. They are funny, they are witty.
He was not a five-tool player. He had like two or three tools, and you would just hear about them all the time.
And they were good.
Yeah.
Played the hits.
Depending on who you are. Depending on how old you are. This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app at WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams. Or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your life for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I was reading this today on Sports Illustrated. A new face has emerged in the running for the Auburn Tigers head coaching position as he hails from an unlikely place. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Clemson's Dabo Sweeney. According to our sources, not my sources, but SI's, also confirmed by a few outlets, we are not the first to mention Sweeney and Auburn. Dabo Sweeney's representation has been having conversations with Auburn University since around last Saturday. Lance Taylor of the Next Round is also in on this reporting as well. Now, Dabo just signed a new extension last year. So this isn't a ploy, right, to get more years and money. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know, Hickey. Can you pull up how much Dabo is making compared to the other college football coach? He's got to be one of the highest paid coaches. So sometimes you try to think, is the motivation maybe money? The only thing I could think of is maybe, just maybe, he felt like he reached his limit at Clemson. He's already won national championships. They're in a spot where they're going to have one loss this year and not go to the college football playoff. They'll schedule some tougher teams, why don't you? And have the ACC actually be a little bit better. I know they have a bunch of top 25 teams, but no great team. Maybe he's looking for a new challenge. Maybe he's kind of complacent with Auburn and realizing it's starting to trend in a direction where we're not going to get back to championship, championship, championship. Not just talking about the ACC. You know, I know they lost the ACC last year, but national championships, because that's how he's judged now. And maybe he's looking for a new challenge. So how do you interpret that?
I think it's the if he would, and I don't believe this, but if
I don't think he's going, by the way.
Let's say this does happen, right? He's the Auburn coach, I don't know, 3 weeks from now.
That would be crazy.
Wild. I think it would be more of the fact that he's just, I think he thinks he plateaued at Clemson. Now, let's also not forget, when he first started and they kind of came on their rise, it was little old Clemson. It was like kind of the
job
underdog who could, you know, the train that just kept going. And not a lot of resources, not a very big school. And so the fact that they were able to be as dominant as they were for, what, 7-8 years now? It's impressive. But I wonder if he feels like now you start to see the talent dip off. You start to see, you know, a slight downtick in recruiting. Now he's starting to lose
have
assistants.
A lot of, yeah, changes. Tony Elliott
right.
with a head coaching job. Brent Venables with a head coaching job.
I wonder if, yeah, you're starting to feel like you kind of hit your limit there. You won 2 national titles, which is incredible. You've been to, what, another 2, I believe, as well as so 4 national championship appearances. It's been an insane run of dominance.
And it doesn't look like Saban's leaving anytime soon. And if the Alabama job, whenever it does open up, you would still assume, you still imagine he'd be in play for it.
And, too, in the world of NIL, he doesn't utilize the transfer portal. It's his own thing, so you got to have to recruit. And Clemson, just call for what it is. It does not have as much money as schools like Auburn do, A&M do. So if you want more resources, Auburn will provide that compared to Clemson.
That new contract, do you have any info on that new contract?
10 years, $115 million, got it after the Georgia Tech game this year. So brand new money. Second highest paid coach, only behind Nick Saban.
Yeah, so this isn't a ploy to go get more money.
No.
So his representatives, that's the report, have been talking to Auburn.
Now, again.
Who reached out first?
Rumor season. So
yeah, that's true.
Who the hell? Everyone's talking everyone. Auburn, I'm sure.
Who in the ACC is trying to get some recruits away from Clemson?
This also could be Auburn trying to boost their own job and say, oh, if Dad was interested, maybe I should be interested in trying to lure away, I don't know, Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin.
You know what? That may be the best idea you've ever had on this show. This could be Auburn saying, let's call Dabo's people, hang up on Dabo's people, then they call us back, oh, we've had conversations. They reached out to us, and maybe the conversation was, hey, did we just got a call? What's going on? Oh, we're interested in the
wrong
job.
Number?
Oh, we're not interested in you. Click. Like, we had a conversation with them.
Who would it benefit for this to leak out? Dabo or Urban? Auburn.
Yeah, jeez. What are you trying to do?
My apologies.
You want Urban Meyer to be the next coach of Auburn? Trying to get us fired on a Friday?
I would be very intrigued by that.
Like
it doesn't. I could be wrong. I don't think it benefits.
Yeah,
Dabo.
It's Auburn. It's Auburn.
So, I think
you're right.
And I think also you could be right. They call. They try to call. Don't pick up. Call back. Oh, hey, we have talked on the phone.
We've had dialogue.
Don't ask us how long the conversation was, what it was about, but we had dialogue.
Dabo's reps tell him to bleep off. We've had intense dialogue.
We're on third base. We're around it. We're coming home.
We are at the 5-yard line. And Dabo just intentionally threw a pick six. It's going back 95 yards the other way. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're just clowning this and we end up being wrong. I'd be surprised if Dabo's coaching Auburn next year.
Same person. I thought no way in hell Brian Kelly's leaving Notre Dame. And, you know, that didn't go very well. So.
Oh, did you? That's one of your wrong predictions that I actually forgot
about. I thought no chance he's leaving. Little did I know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then like less than 24 hours. I think actually later on that show at 9 p.m. Eastern, we got that news. Because I remember I said I would have agreed with you yesterday, but now since this is out there, I think the deal gets done. And you're like, nope, 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 nope. And then 9 p.m. Eastern, I remember something like that. It was during the show. Boom, Brian Kelly goes to LSU. And Hickey, I remember getting on the air. Yeah, I was wrong. I'm shocked about this one.
So my track record, as you could tell, listeners out there, is very sharp. So you listen to what I say, and what I say always comes true.
What's your prediction on this one more time?
Clemson, Dabo, going nowhere.
Lock it up. Eight-year deal, $100 million to Auburn.
Well, the good news for Auburn, for Dabo, you don't have to change your orange. You know, you keep a lot of your swag. Tigers, orange, like, it's pretty good.
I'm just wondering, if you're Dabo, Auburn's a really good job, don't get me wrong. But you could have the creme de la creme jobs. Now, that's in a very high category, the Auburn job. If you're thinking about leaving, wouldn't you wait for something maybe a little bit bigger to open up?
Would A&M be that bigger school? Or are you saying like Alabama, like Goliath?
Well, the thing with that, we just don't know how much longer Saban's going to coach.
That's the tricky part is just.
And all these big jobs just opened up last year.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn probably will be the biggest job available this offseason.
Yeah, LSU is not opening up anytime soon.
A&M maybe.
We'll
see. Like, I'd rather probably have the A&M job than Auburn. But I don't think Jimbo should be back next year. I think, though, he will be back.
Like Georgia, Kirby Smart, he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, depends on where he wants to go, but.
Ohio State, Michigan, I don't think Ryan Day's leaving on Harbaugh, maybe, but I don't know. I can't see Dabo at Michigan.
No, I think he's a guy who's from the South, belongs in the South.
Yeah. How attractive is the Clemson job if it opens up? It's a good job.
It's a tough job.
I wonder who their coach is
going to be sky high.
Yeah, because you're replacing the guy. I wonder who their coach would be. That's like
Bill O'Brien. We keep throwing out there until he gets a job.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I
read something today that Albert Breer was talking about Bill O'Brien going back with the Patriots next year. If it's not Georgia Tech or Arizona
if you're Matt
State,
Rule,
I don't know. Go ahead.
So if you're Matt Rule,
what about him?
If Clemson's open, it's when you got to jump on.
That's a good job for Matt. That would be a good job for Matt Rule.
This guy's been a builder. Now, obviously, you don't have to build Clemson. But.
And you could dominate the ACC. That does have like a Big 12 kind of vibe to it.
That's the thing. The expectations would be sky high for what Dabo's built. But also, like I said, the ACC is not there's not a challenger right now. So, should have an easier path.
You know, UNC is going to be good for the next 2 years because of their quarterback in Drake May. So, yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I don't think Dabo's leaving. But why is this out there? Could it just be Auburn trying to boost up their job a little bit, which kind of shows you the bad state Auburn's in right now? Yeah, potentially. I think Hickey's on to something. I don't know. I just can't see Dabo at Auburn. I don't think Dabo's going to coach the rest of his life at Clemson. But going to Auburn, I'm not really seeing it.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.